To say, and I started out with, these words are from God, and they're to give you hope. Hope that He, you know, He'll be able to touch you, you know. And a lot of unbelievers, and they said, you know, God has given us each a little mustard seed of faith, and as you call upon Him, that faith will grow and grow. Just keep on talking to Him. So the last day I'm there, I'm getting ready to leave. My stepmother actually got up early, 3:45, in order to go to the airport with me, which really moved, you know, in my heart that it was awesome that she wanted to do that. And as I stood there saying goodbye to her, and I hugged her, and I told her that I loved her, and God did such an awesome thing inside of me. It really burned I felt like the Grinch, you know, that started out with that little tiny heart and it just exploded. I just felt so much love for her. And it was just such an awesome feeling. So he not only did work, you know, for the other people that were there that said thank you, that never heard the word before, but he did such an awesome work in my heart. And I did promise her that I will go back, you know. And I thank God and give Him all the glory for the strength and the love that He has shared through my life.
Amen.
I have overcome that fear in all of the past. Thank you, Lord God.
He's the God of reconciliation.
Amen.
Before the power and the presence of the great I Hallelujah. That great I am is Jesus Christ alone. Only he could be called the great I am. Nothing can stand against him. Nothing. He has taken everything and put it under his feet. And only he can be called the great I am. Because he is our Lord and he loves us. And because he loves us, and I know I say this a lot because I think that we just really have to realize how much Jesus Christ truly loves you. Because when he went to the cross and he said, I am the great I am, he said, I love you. This
much. Amen.
That he went to that cross, that he loved you that much, that he can stretch out his arms. And when he rose again from the dead, he said, come to me, sit on my lap, be with me, because I have forgiven you. Because of my blood, you can walk in victory. Because of my blood, you can walk in forgiveness. Because of my blood and what I have done for you, you can walk and you can come before the throne room and you can come before me. And you can come and tell me anything, because there's nothing that you can do or nothing that you did do that I have not forgiven you for. I have forgiven you for your past. I have forgiven you for your present. And I have forgiven you for your future. But you have to make the step and you have to come to me and you have to tell me that you're sorry. You have to repent. You have to say that you're willing to turn around and walk away from the things that you have done. You have to take the first step. And when you take that first step, I will run into your arms and I will hug your neck and I will tell you that I love you and I forgive you. Jesus. And you can come and you can call me the great I am. Jesus. Because my name is Jesus.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I believe that's a word from the Lord, and I believe God wants to do something this morning. You know, as I was worshiping, you know, and I get in, you know, I don't just sit on the sideline, although I'm on the side, I don't just sit on the sideline watching what's going on, I get in. And you need to get in. You know, worship, this time of worship is not simply about music or passing time, but this is an opportunity to really cry out to the Lord, to open up your hearts to him. Because he's opened up his heart to us. We know what he wants to do in our lives. And he's called us to be a people of faith. People who walk by faith and not by sight. People who will not allow the circumstances of life to dictate to us what he wants to do in our life. Now I realize that there are people here that you may be on the edge of financial ruin. You may be on the edge of catastrophic health issues. You may be on the edge of a breakup in a relationship. But whatever your situation, whatever your circumstance, God is able. And you and I are called to walk by faith and not by sight. But to do what he's called us to do. Realizing that Jesus has purchased it all. He's accomplished it all. On the cross, he said, as Dee was saying, it is finished. But then it comes our response, will we come forward when he calls us? And so I want us to do that again, that chorus again. And while we're doing that as God moves you, as God stirs your heart, that you would just come to the altar. That you would just come forward and say, here I am, Lord. I'm not playing around anymore. I'm done trying to do it my way. But I will stand and believe you. I will believe your word. that you are for me and not against me. I will believe your word that you will never leave me nor forsake me. I will believe your word that through you, you have conquered death. You have conquered sickness. You have conquered every broken relationship. You are the God, as we heard someone say from the music team, the God of reconciliation. And so I want to invite you. Take a step. Take a step of faith. Just get up from out of your seats and come forward. And we're going to sing, and we're going to worship together. Amen. We're not going to just sing together, but we are going to worship. We're going to praise Him, our King, our Lord, who makes promises and keeps them.
Can I say one thing I didn't mention? I left Colorado 50 years ago in May, this May. 50 years ago. I went 50 years without loving this woman and God. When I stepped forward and shared His love, He grew my love. Thank you.
Let's do that. Let's just worship Him. But don't just worship Him from the comfort of your seat. Come.
I want to be near, near to your heart, loving the world and hating the dark. I want to see dry bones living again, singing as one, hallelujah, holy, holy, God Almighty, the great I am, who is worthy, none beside thee, God Almighty, the great.
Tells us in Philippians that we're to be anxious for nothing. Absolutely nothing. But by our prayers, our petitions, we make them known to God. And the God of the universe hears our prayers, hears our petitions. And His desire is to fulfill that emptiness in your own heart, but to fill it with Himself, because He's the one that will make all the difference. We often try to fill it with our own ideas, but what He's looking for are men and women that are totally and completely surrendered to Him. And part of coming forward is realizing that we don't have to be afraid. You know, when I was a kid, they would say, you know, there are two things you don't talk about, politics and religion. And we know everybody here has a political opinion and is not afraid to express it. So obviously that's not true anymore. But there is a sense of, especially among Christians, that somehow we're supposed to be quiet and reserved and not offend anyone. Jesus was an offense. But it was through that offense that people stopped to think and realize, could this be true? And so what we're here to do this morning is really to get out of ourselves. And what you've done, especially for those that have come forward this morning, you've taken a step. Amen. And the important thing is not to think that this is the one and final step, but you'll keep on taking steps to lift up the name of Jesus, to call upon the Holy Spirit who dwells within you, to empower you in the areas that you're weak, to empower you in the areas that you may be fearful to do what He's called you to do. And so, Lord, right now, I just ask for a special blessing. A blessing through Your Holy Spirit to touch each person in this room. They would not be afraid, but they would be as bold as lions, Lord, to be able to proclaim Your name. To say that I am not ashamed of Jesus Christ in my life. I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. Because You are the one that has made a difference in my life. And so, Lord, we thank You. We praise You. We glorify Your name. In the one name which is above every other name. Some would say that's Muhammad. Some would say that's Allah. Some would say that's Buddha. Amen. There's only one name. And the word says that every knee will tremble. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess to one name and one name only. And his name, come on, what is it, church? His name is Jesus. One
Hallelujah.
More time. Jesus. Now, don't listen. Let's not be a people who just get, we're not at like a sporting event where we're shouting and yelling and we get all excited. But Lord, let it sink down into our hearts. That name is the only name that matters. That name is a name that saves. That name is a name that heals. That name is a name that reconciles. That name is a name that redeems. Hallelujah. And so, Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for this time of worship. We thank you this time of just offering ourselves. And we thank you that you've touched us in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirit. And we thank you that you are ours, but more importantly, that we belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, these guys over here are sneaking in some hugging and kissing over here. Jesus. I'll tell you, God is good. And I hope you didn't just discover that this morning, but he's good all the time. You know, there's an expression that we serve an 1159 God. Do you know what that means? That means God is never early in our circumstances, but he's always there in the nick of time. I don't know if you've ever been in a place, and I'm sure you have at some time or another, where you're on the edge of disaster. Have you ever been on the edge of disaster? You know, many times. And sometimes we look around and say, God, where are you? But see, that isn't what God wants to hear. What God wants to hear is, Lord, I'm waiting on you. I know you're going to show up. I know you will rescue me. You see, God is looking for men and women of faith, people who will believe in spite of the circumstances, who will believe because they are sold out, committed, dedicated to the idea that Jesus is truly Lord. And by Lord, I mean that he is Lord of all. And see, when we come to that place where we're just trusting God for all the situations and circumstances that we know are beyond our control. Come on, can we agree there are certain things that we control? But there are other areas of our lives that we have no control over. And it's in those times, in those moments, that God wants to be glorified. And we glorify him when we walk by faith in a world that's disbelieving. When we walk by faith and not by sight. When we're not concerned about what people might think or what people might say. Listen, for much of my young adult life, I was controlled by other people, by what they would think about me. Can I tell you, that is no way to live. Amen. And now I'm controlled by what God thinks of me. And I know, listen to me, I know this is going to sound proudful and arrogant, but I know it's true. Listen, I know God likes me. You know? I mean, I know he loves me. Yes, that's not an option with him. He loves us all. But he likes me. Come on, are you at that place where you know that God likes you? You know, you can love someone and you're glad they were long distance off. You know, I love that person, but I'm glad they live way over there. But when you love someone and you like somebody, you want to be with them. Amen? And so, I'll tell you what, come on, God likes you. You know, listen, don't tell anybody. Don't tell the person next to you. Are you ready for this? You're his favorite. Don't let the person sitting next to you know that I just told you that. My wife has a t-shirt that says, God loves you, but I'm his favorite. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. But I'll tell you what, God is looking for men and women like us to be totally sold out. Are you sold out? Are you committed to him? The idea of dedication, you know, I'm dedicated to him and his cause. The cause of the gospel, the good news. And so, speaking of dedication, we are about to have a dedication in just a moment. And our dedication this morning, we're going to have a baby dedication. Amen? How many people love babies? Aren't they cute? Okay, when you see this baby, you're going to swoon. I don't know where I got that word. That's an old word, swoon. But I wanted to share a few things about dedication so that you would understand. We all, you know, I'm sure all of us come from different traditions and different backgrounds. And we in Reach Out and churches like ours, we do not believe that baptism is for infants. We believe that baptism, water baptism that is something that follows salvation. It follows a decision to receive Jesus into your life. And then you choose to be baptized for a number of reasons. One of them being that you're telling the world, I don't care who knows, that something has happened inside of me. And I'm expressing that in an outward way. But we don't do water baptisms because we don't believe the scriptures support that idea. But what we do is we do baby dedications because Jesus was dedicated. We know from the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1 that Hannah was without child and she sought the Lord. And make a long story short, she prayed to have a child. God gave her a child. And she said that if you would give me a child, I would dedicate this child to the Lord. Now, what does it mean to dedicate a child to the Lord? What it means to dedicate a child to the Lord is that you've made a decision that you're going to be a positive influence in that child's life, directing them on a path so that one day they would make a decision for Jesus Christ, that one day that they would be baptized, but more importantly, that they would live a life that exemplifies Christ in their lives. And many of us, the parents, have taken on that responsibility and attempted to do that thing. I can tell you from personal experience that it's not as easy as it sounds. The fact that you have a child dedicated at a service doesn't mean it's the beginning and the end. It means that it's the beginning. Amen? And so in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 22, Jesus has been born. And then it says this. The scriptures say, now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed. That was speaking of Mary, Jesus' mother. They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord. And so we want to do that very same thing. Chris and Sarah Golden have made a decision because Liliana Grace, isn't able to make that decision yet. So I'm going to ask you both or three of you to come forward. Dee, why don't you come over here too? Whenever there's a baby involved, Dee wants to be involved. Hallelujah.
I get to hold the baby. Isn't she precious?
Oh, no, we don't want to see you. Turn around.
See?
This is the way you're supposed to hold her when they're getting dedicated to a boy. He's so beautiful. Oh, here comes all the ants and grandma.
Are you gonna? You want anyone else to come up? Yeah. We want the grandparents to come on up. Come on down. Oh, come on. What a, come on now. Didn't I tell you, you go, aw.
There we go.
Let me just quickly share some things with you, especially some charges to the parents. A baby dedication is actually a parent commitment service and a grandparent commitment service. And close friend commitment service. And it's a promise of the parents in particular because they have the responsibility to offer their child to the Lord and to dedicate themselves to the rearing of the child in a godly way. One of the things that we do in a baby dedication is we realize that this child is a gift from God. Amen. Every child is a gift from God. And it's meant to give the parents an opportunity to recognize that gift as one that comes from God. Psalm 127, verse 3 says, "Behold, children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." Hallelujah. And the parents' intent is very important here in that we're charging both Chris and Sarah in particular with raising young Lily as a Christian in a Christian environment. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 and 7, it says this, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently." Here we go. "You shall teach them diligently to your children and talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." And so the challenge to you as parents is to raise up your child, to educate her, to train her in the ways of the Lord.
Train her the word of God in the morning, in the afternoon, and at night, especially before she goes to bed. Sing to her praises of God. Give her lullabies of the Lord.
In Ephesians 6:4, it says, "And you fathers," so here's a charge to you, father, "do not provoke your child to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." The challenge for us as parents is to lay a foundation of learning about God. Amen? And so what we want to do at this point is we want to pray. We want to lay hands. I know everyone wants to lay hands on the baby, but we're really laying hands on Chris and Sarah and just releasing in them the anointing of God, the work of the Holy Spirit to do those things and to continue to make the sacrifices that they will have to make in order to raise her up in the admonition of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. So come on, everyone up here, let's lay hands on them, and we're gonna pray. Church, come on, just extend your hand out. Just agree with us in prayer. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, right now, I just release your anointing, Lord, the work of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we know it's not by might, it's not by strength, but it is by your Spirit, Lord. And so we pray a hedge of protection around Lily, Lord, that you would protect her mind, you would protect her heart, you would protect her body. And Lord God, that you would also extend that protection around Chris and Sarah. And Lord God, that you would help them to be the parents that they need to be, Lord. The parents that they would need to be. To be self-sacrificing as they are, Lord, to always have Lily's welfare at heart. And Lord God, to realize that the best parent we could have is you. And Lord God, that one day Lily would make that decision when she's of age to say, "Yes, Jesus, come into my life. Come into my life." And so, Lord, right now, just pray a special blessing upon Chris and Sarah, that you would just unite them in this endeavor. And Lord God, you've joined them together as husband and wife. But Lord, just help them to always have Lily as a priority in their life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Lord, I just to bless the parent, the grandparents as well, Lord God. That Lord, that they would always have Lily's interest at heart. And Lord God, that they would always be there to oversee, to be like that person on the wall, Lord, and to watch over her life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Amen. All right, honey, you're going to have to give her back.
Go to Daddy for a minute.
Amen. God bless you guys. All she did was hold the baby. She gets the kisses and the hugs. Amen. Speaking of dedications, we also want to recognize the dedication of a number of people who have faithfully completed the Foundations 1 and Foundations 2 course. Foundations 1 and 2 are basically our courses for new members and new people that are in the church. We also like to use it as an entryway into actually doing ministry within the church. And so I'm going to call out some names, and I'm just going to ask you to come forward, and then we're going to just take a moment to pray over you as well. Amen. I believe that Randall Bowes has completed Foundations 2. He is ill, and we need to keep Randall in prayer. Amen. Some of you know that he's been ill, but Randall Bowes, you might say, well, who's Randall? He was a guy that's up there and plays the harmonica. So that's Randall. He's a Civil War buff, but more importantly, he needs prayer right now. He needs prayer for something going on with his equilibrium, his hearing. So just keep him in prayer. But I'm going to ask Nareda. Is Nareda here this morning? Oh, there you are. Nareda? Please come. Robert Torres. Nareda and Robert Torres. No, we're not related in the natural, biologically, but we are related spiritually. Amen. Nareda, God bless you. That's for you. I want you to please stay up here. Robert?
Yes.
There you go. Okay. Okay, Anjanette and David Miletix, I know that they left a message that they would not be able to be here this morning. They're fine, but for something has come up and they're unable to be here. Ben Bovey. Come on, Ben. Congratulations, Ben. Christian Richard. Is Kristen here this morning? She... Okay, all right. June DeLuca, amen, hallelujah. Congratulations. Nick Knapp. And Gabrielle. Congratulations. Yeah, you can stay on this side, okay. And Gabrielle. There you go. Eric Ford. Oh. Hey, Eric. Hey. God bless you, man. Connor Bayless. Obviously, you brought your own cheerleaders. Amen. Congratulations. I wish we had one of these right now for Merlin Tisler. Amen. Amen. Let's just take them. Look, come on. Let's pray for them. Amen. Lord Jesus, right now, we just thank you for these men and women, Lord, that they love you, Lord. It's as simple as that. And because of the love that you have shown them, they love you in response. And that love desires to to share that love with others. And so, Lord, we just ask that the things that they've learned in Foundations 1 and 2 would help them to understand your word more clearly and empower them to be your messengers. And so, Lord, we thank you for them. We ask you to bless them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Congratulations. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Wow. Wow. At this time, what I'd like to do is to receive our tithes and offerings this morning. So I'm going to ask the ushers to please come and be prepared to do that. Also, I want to remind you in your bulletin are a number of important items. We have mission trips that are coming together. We have a men's getaway, which is coming up in April. So there's information that you'll need to know or to have there. Carl, can you help me? Is there something else I should say? I know there's a CPC breakfast or a banquet coming up in April. There's a couples seminar coming up at the end of April. That information is in the bulletin. It's going to be held here. Okay. And also, we have baptisms coming up. So we talked about water baptism a little bit earlier. If you have need to be baptized, you desire to be baptized, then I'd encourage you to check your bulletin, and you'll see the dates and information there. Amen. And fishing derby coming up. Amen. And expedition coming up this summer. Hallelujah. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. Lord, that we're not afraid to be moved by your spirit. Not that we're simply an emotional bunch of people. No, we're not saying that. But, Lord, your Spirit, your Holy Spirit is real. And, Lord, we make no apologies for that. And we believe that the Word of God is spiritually appraised or understood. And that you speak to us by your Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 talks very plainly about that. And so, Lord, we just thank you that we know that you love us, and that causes us to act in a different way than the rest of the world, because so much of the world is hopeless, where we have hope in you. And so, Lord, I ask you to bless every giver this morning. Lord, that you would just make a way for them financially. Lord, if they're struggling, Lord, that you would just cause a miraculous increase to move into their view. Or, Lord God, that you would just give them a strategy, Lord, to overcome that. And so, Lord, your word says that as we give, we shall also receive. We thank you for that. And I ask you to bless our giving this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I can see that... We have something, one more thing that we want to do, but I also wanted to just give you just not a nugget, but just a thought. I said something at last week's service that I really believe was a word from the Lord. And sometimes when we speak, we can sometimes say things, and in having said it, realize that that isn't something that you were thinking about, but God just sort of interjected and put some thoughts into your mind. We see examples in the scriptures where even non-believers would say things that God had instructed them to say in a prophetic way. And I really believe that revival is coming. And the word revival, you need to understand, has to do with the idea that something was alive and then sort of dried up. There was an allusion to the, in one of the worship songs that we sang that had to do with dry bones. And I believe it's in Ezekiel chapter 37 that speaks about the valley of dry bones. A place of deadness. But then when God comes in and through the Spirit of God, then those bones will come together and they will come alive. Flesh and sinew and all the, again, if you just want to read that, just read Ezekiel chapter 37. I believe God is doing that in this time and in this age. We are on the verge of the precipice, of a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and which we call revival. And it's important for us to keep our hearts open and to keep our eyes open and our ears open to what God may do in this season. One of the worst things that we can do is to look backwards and say, God did this then, so he's going to do it that way now. That is probably not how God's going to move. God's going to do something new, something fresh, but we need to have eyes and ears, to spiritual eyes and ears, to be alert to what God is doing. And when God moves in revival, there's an outpouring. Again, one of the worship songs talked about, the river of the Holy Spirit, the river coming out of our belly, coming out of our hearts. There's an excitement. There's an anticipation. There is an overwhelming joy. And I don't know about you, but I think that's what this world needs right now. This world is filled with all kinds of negative news, but we need to look to our Savior. Amen. And his desire is to bring new life. We're coming up on Easter in just a couple of weeks. The greatest story of revival began on Easter Day some 2,000 years ago. Jesus was dead and he became alive. Jesus has the power of resurrection. He says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. And so as we approach Easter, we need to approach it from a resurrection aspect, a revival aspect. My intent was to talk to you a little bit about just before Jesus' passion, which begins in John chapter 12. In chapter 11, Jesus does something miraculous, and he demonstrates what's going to happen. He prefaces Easter by raising Lazarus from the grave. And again, I just encourage you to read chapter 11 of the Gospel of John. And really examine the story of Lazarus. And what you'll see is that Lazarus' resurrection is a type of what Jesus was going to do a short time later. And the interesting thing about the resurrection of Lazarus is that there were people who rejoiced and understood that God was at work. And then there were people who rejected what Jesus did that day. And the same thing happened on that Easter. And the same thing happens today. There are people who will reject. But we're not called to lament over that, because only God can save. But we are called to be the messengers. Amen? God has put the gospel in your mouth. God has given you the word to share. And that's our responsibility. Amen? And so all over the world, God's people are rising up. And I can think of no better place than to mention to you, as you know, earlier or last year I was in Pakistan, and you may have read in the news of the churches that are being burned down in Pakistan, the persecution, the death. That's happening in a city called Lahore, which is one of the cities that I did the conference in last year with World Map. And so I know people from that area that are being persecuted and are suffering for the sake of the gospel. And so we can never forget those in distant lands that are truly being persecuted. I've asked Gabriel Knapp to come and to share with you a project that she's working on and has been working on, which helps people, especially in impoverished nations. And so I'd ask that you would just give her your ear and listen to her with your heart as she just shares with you what God has put on her heart to share with you. Amen? Hallelujah. You need the mic or the mic stand or is... You're on.
Thank you, Pastor Vic, for this opportunity. And thank you all for allowing me to come and share a little bit about what I've been doing with you. So I started working with a company called Trades of Hope, and their goal is to empower women out of poverty around the world. So before I really get in, I just want to let you know I'm not necessarily a motivational speaker, but I'm really hoping that you're motivated this morning, not because of something that I say, not because I'm great or anything like that, but because I'm praying that God really speaks to you where you're at, and God really lights a fire in you and motivates you to reach out and to change the world. So my goal this morning is to share with you the simple way that I'm changing the world, and I really hope that you'll join me in that. Proverbs 31, 8 through 9 says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy." So this verse is really telling me that I need to speak up and I need to be a voice for the voiceless, for the poor, for the destitute, for people in desperate situations. And that's what I'm able to do. But how am I doing this? It's really simple. I'm wearing and selling scarves and jewelry. It really is that simple, and what woman wouldn't like to do that? So I work for a company, like I said, called Trades of Hope. We sell fair trade items in the home party model, similar to a party light party or a Leah Sophia party. But we're empowering women out of poverty around the world. We work to change the world through opening up ways for women to shop, host, and join. And I want to share with you a little bit more about how this is changing the world. But Trades of Hope is a missional business. It was started in 2010, just a few years ago, by two women and their daughters. One of the women who founded it is a pastor's wife, and the other, I'm not sure she's a pastor's wife or if she's just gone on a lot of missions trips, but one day they had been invited and they went to a party light party, and while they were there, they thought to themselves, if we could do this and sell products in people's homes and parties, why can't we do something similar that has an impact on the world around us, that really helps other people out of desperate situations? So they started Trades of Hope. And the founders believe that all women should be empowered and have a chance to better their lives. They founded Trades of Hope so that women around the world could join together to change the face of poverty. And it really is working. And so our goal is to empower women, but what does that mean? Well, empower simply means to give one the authority or power to do something for oneself. So that means we're not a charity. We don't take donations and give money to women in other countries. What we do instead is we provide them with an opportunity. Because the women in these countries aren't looking for charity. They're looking for an opportunity. And so some of these women have skills. They know how to make jewelry. They know how to make scarves or bags or home decor. And some of these women are learning how to do that, and they're learning how to build their own business doing making simple jewelry and simple products. But they are being empowered out of poverty, and they're being empowered to take care of their families and their communities. Why do we empower women? Why not anyone, for that matter? Statistically, 40% of all women make less than $2 a day. In general, women are paid 25 cents to a man's dollar. 70% of those living around the world in poverty around the world are women, and the primary victims of today's wars are not soldiers, they're women and their children. I heard a statistic that really jumped out at me, and I want to share that with you today. It said, when you help one woman out of poverty, she brings at least four others with her. Just helping one woman brings four people with her. So I want to kind of demonstrate this a little bit, and I need a volunteer. So who would like to volunteer? I think I saw Eric's hand first up in the back. So Eric, go ahead and stand up. So say I empower Eric out of poverty. He's going to then in turn bring four other people with him. So Eric, what I want you to do is I want you to pick four people, and those people just stand up right where you're at. All right, so that's five, but we'll let you do that. Now, those four people, I want you to do the same thing. You're each going to pick four other people to stand up with you and just stand up while, where you're at. And again, those four people do the same thing. Pick four more people to stand up with you. And those four people who just stood up, pick four more people to stand up with you. And as soon as you stand up, pick four more people to stand up with you. And keep going, keep picking four more people the minute you stand up, four more people to stand up with you. All right, it's easy to see how helping one person can spread like wildfire. So I had one person, I had Eric stand up, and I said, okay, I empowered Eric out of poverty. And look what happened. You're all standing up. You were all were impacted by that one person. You guys can go ahead and take a seat. And that's, it's just a really powerful statistic. So often we think, oh, well, I have to help this many people out, or I have to help this whole group out. But all it takes is just one person. Trades of Hope practices fair trade principles. All of our products are fair trade. And what that means is that our artisans are paid 3 to 6 times more than what they would make on average in their country. So a woman makes 25 cents to a man's dollar. So if she's making 25 cents on average in her country by selling through Trades of Hope and working with Trades of Hope, she's able to make 75 cents or $1.50. And that's a huge difference, and that goes to help her family and her community. How many women in here clip coupons and you know how to stretch a dollar? Women in other countries are exactly the same way. They'll make everything stretch to the most that they can. And so by making more money, they're able to help more people, and they're becoming voices in their community, and they're becoming leaders in their community because they're empowered to simply get themselves and their family out of poverty. It's so simple. So I want to share with you some stories and some just a couple of the countries that we work with. And I wish I had time to go through every country. Feel free to come back. I have a table set up in the foyer. If you want more stories, more information, I would love to tell you more stories about our artisans groups. But I picked three to talk about this morning. And I want to talk about these because every piece has a story behind it. And when you learn the stories and learn about the women who make these products, it puts me at least in awe. I think, wow, these women are coming out of this kind of situation, or they're struggling with this, and this is the hope that they get. This is how their lives are changing. And it's very tangible when you start to hear and see the stories. So the first country I want to talk about is Haiti. And these are some of the products made in Haiti. I don't know if you can see very well, but does anyone know what these are made of? And if you were in the first service, don't say anything. What was that? Paper. Paper is a really close guess. These products, and I do have the necklace and the bracelets out on the table. You should check them out. They're made from cereal boxes. And it's a symbol of something that would have been discarded, something that would have been thrown away, that's now made into something beautiful and treasured. And how many of you know that God does the same thing with us? God takes us and he makes us into something beautiful. So that's a little bit about these. The story behind these products is one that really touches my heart. A woman named Shelley Clay went to Haiti in 2007 with her husband to adopt a little girl. When they arrived, they discovered that the child's parents were living and still wanted her, but simply could not afford to care for her. She was a relinquished child. As Shelley investigated further, she found that every child in the orphanage was in the same situation. Children whose parents were so desperate that they felt their only choice was to give up their baby to an orphanage so they could have a chance. Shelley and her husband knew they needed to be a part of the solution to help women keep their children by creating employment opportunities. They started the Unorphanage, which now employs hundreds of women and allows them to make an income to keep their children. All of these products that are pictured here are made by the Unorphanage. And it all started because one couple went to go adopt a child, and they learned that their child's parents were alive. They just couldn't afford to feed their child. They couldn't afford to take care of their child. And sometimes I think in America, we think, how could that happen? You know, you think, well, there's got to be programs that help. There's got to be some way that parents can keep their child. But in Haiti, it's a little bit different. And so often that this happens, where parents cannot simply can't afford to keep their child. So they give them up to orphanages just so that they might have a chance that someone else could take care of their child. On just a slight chance that someone else could afford to take care of their child for them. One of the artisans from this group, her name's Vaseline, she was only 17 years old when she was orphaned by cholera. She was alone and living in a tent with a brand new baby, but then she found the unorphanage and she started making bracelets. Now with the income she earns, she's not only renting a home, but she's also getting ready to send her 3-year-old son to school. So this has completely turned her life around from a woman living in a tent, wondering how is she going to get by, how is she going to take care of her children, to now she's not only renting a house, but she's getting ready to send her child to school. That's hope right there. The second place I want to talk about is India. And again, these are just some of the products that come from India. Again, I encourage you to stop by the table and see some of the others. But in India, women are often overlooked and seen as objects living a life that consists of low wages and discrimination. Many times, the boys of the family are given the opportunity to go to school, while the girls are expected to care for the home and the other children. This is in part because India, along with many other countries in the world, does not have a free public education system. And so when the parents are going to pay for a child to go to school, they're going to pay for their sons to go to school because men and boys are looked at more highly than women and girls. So many women in India don't even have the opportunity to get a simple education. And so many of the women end up working in the sex trade or working in sweatshops for 12 to 14 hours a day. Now, when Trades of Hope works with these artisan groups in India and these women in India, they're allowing them to work from home, take care of their children, become self-reliant, not have to work in a sweatshop, but they're also keeping women from having to enter the sex trade. You know, we have some artisan groups that work with women coming out of the sex trade, and we have artisan groups like some of the ones in India who are helping keep women from having to enter that. So they're teaching women and they're allowing women to have a job to earn income. Again, that's 3 to 6 times more what they would make in their country that keeps them out of the sex trade. And that's so important. The last country that I want to talk to you about is Cambodia. And in Cambodia, acid attacks are very prevalent. So if you're not quite sure what that is, to sum it up, someone has something against you. It could be anything, even the tiniest little thing, a suspicion that has no grounding. So what they'll do, they'll go out and they'll buy acid and they'll follow you around until just the right moment and they'll throw this acid in your face. And it burns your skin and it like literally melts your skin. And the women who are acid attack victims go through multiple surgeries, painful surgeries, to try to reconstruct some of their face or to try to reconstruct some of their body just so that they're not living, just so that they're slightly better than what happened when the acid hit them. But these women have to live with the scarring, and these women have to live with the pain the rest of their lives. One of our artisans is also the founder of a group in Cambodia, and she wrote to Trades of Hope. Her name is Ya. She said, "My name is Ya. One day someone flung a container of acid in my face. It burned my face and ran down my body. The excruciating, intensive burns threatened to take my life for months. And since I have had to endure numerous surgeries to attempt to remake my features and face to be normal again, I now have to live with the scarring on my face and body, and also with the scarring on my heart. I have been the subject of mockery, hatred, rejection, and curiosity, but rarely the subject of compassion or help. I am gradually trying to rebuild my life and make a future for myself, but the only thing that gives me the courage to do that is that I know that I'm not alone and that I may be able to do something to help others. I'm starting this small business to make goods by hand so that other women in my condition can earn their own living in safety with some measure of self-respect. That's from one of the founders. She is an acid attack victim, but she found that she could use her gifts and talents not only to earn an income for herself, but to empower other women and bring other women with her. It's the same example as what we were talking about before, where this one person, a victim of an acid attack, she found hope and she found life again. And she didn't just keep it to herself. She invited other people who were other victims of acid attacks to come with her and for their lives to be changed as well. So those are the three countries that I wanted to highlight. Again, I wish I could tell you about the artisan groups in Guatemala and Costa Rica and Nepal. Feel free to come talk to me about those afterwards. I'd love to give you more information about those artisan groups. But, you know, it's sometimes I think about these stories. I think about the things that these women are struggling with and dealing with on a daily basis. And it's easy for me to feel broken inside. It's easy for me to read about acid attacks in Cambodia and just feel so hurting for these women. Or to hear about the things that go on in India and Haiti and just almost feel angry. Like, how does this happen? How can in this world we live, how can these awful things happen to people? And I feel broken and you know, sometimes it can bring us to tears, these things. But I've learned for me personally, although the tears that I shed for someone may be good, and I'm empathizing with these people and these women in these situations, my tears alone don't create change. I have to do something. Now, the things that I feel, my emotions, that brokenness inside, that anger over how can this happen, those are good things. And God gives us our emotions. So I'm not saying any crying for these people, shedding tears for these people. They're not bad things. But our emotions and the things that we feel, they should motivate us. And they should spur us further and forward to take action, to do something about it. So if all I do is hear these stories and sit and cry and feel broken, it doesn't change what's going on. But if I take these emotions and I find something that I can do about it, that's when I create world change. That's when I can go and I can change one person's life. Colossians 3:12 says, once it goes up, I don't have this memorized. Colossians 3:12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. As God's chosen people, clothe yourself. Now, I'm going to share with you something that I heard a speaker say. I don't take credit for coming up with this. She said it, and it really resonated in me. She said, it was a little blunt. She said, I don't care if you have the gift of compassion. She was like, you can have the gift of compassion. That's great. But if you don't, clothe yourselves with it. You're God's chosen people, which all, you know, we're God's chosen people. We're called to clothe ourselves with compassion. So just like every morning you get up and you put your outfit on for work and you leave the house, every morning you get up, you should be clothing yourself. You should be choosing compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I'm not the most compassionate person in the world. Like, if you really get to know me, you'd be like, well, she's does not have the gift of mercy. But that doesn't change the fact that I'm supposed to clothe myself with compassion. And James 1:27, a verse that we've probably all heard before, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So the first verse I read, I'm just going to summarize it again. Be a voice for the voiceless, for the poor, for the destitute, for people in desperate situations. Clothe yourself with compassion and kindness, gentleness and humility, and look after orphans and widows in their distress. And I feel like that's what I'm doing. I was watching a YouTube video the other day, and this quote was up on it, and it also resonated with me. It says, if you wait until you can do everything for everybody instead of doing something for somebody, you'll end up doing nothing for nobody. I'm going to read it again because I think it's a very powerful quote and I don't want to miss this. If you wait until you can do everything for everybody instead of doing something for somebody, you'll end up doing nothing for nobody. You know, just like that example, you don't have to wait till you can do everything for everybody. Just one person. It just takes one person to show compassion and kindness to. One person, do something for one person to change their life, and it has a rippling effect. And you know, often when you do that one thing for one person, you find another person, and you're like, I can do this. And so you show another person compassion, you show another person change, and another person hope, and their life has changed. So now that's two people with a rippling effect. And it can go on and on and on, the more people. But really, all it takes is just one. Just start by changing one life today. And so I have a table in the foyer. Feel free to come by. You can even try on the jewelry and the scarves. I'd love for you to get to know some of the products, share more stories with you. I really, truly believe that this can cause world change, and I've seen lives change, and I've seen how women's lives are being changed through something so simple. So please stop by the foyer. You can place an order today, and any order placed today, we're going to donate 10% back to the church for your missions trips. So not only, if you place an order today, not only are you empowering a woman in another country out of poverty, giving her hope and a future, but you're also sowing back into the church's missions trips because they're very important. And I believe if you're not going, then you're sending. And I really would encourage, if any of you are thinking about going on a missions trip or you're on the fence, you're not sure, go for it. Because they are an absolutely incredible opportunity to see God move and to allow God to use you. So I really want to put that plug in for the missions trip. And again, know that any purchase from the table, 10% goes back to the missions trips. And if you're interested in getting involved in any other way, come talk to me. There are other ways that you can get involved as well. So thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? Just a note, we did not have food pantry this Friday because of the snow and the fact that Hyde Park schools were closed, which means that we have lots of bread and vegetables in the foyer. Please take as much as you want. Take for yourself. Take for your neighbors. But please, we would like to see all of it gone this morning. Okay? Amen. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Spirit, Lord. Your Holy Spirit in the house, Lord, as it touched every life here in so many different ways. Lord, you are truly our Lord and our Savior. Jesus, we thank you for what you're done, what you're doing, and what you shall do in every life here. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.